A falling barometer predicts a storm, but smashing your barometer won't change the weather. This simple truth contains a profound insight that eluded scientists for over a century. Correlation and causation are fundamentally different. For generations, researchers were trained to avoid the word cause entirely, describing findings only in terms of associations and relationships. Yet every medical treatment, policy decision, and technological innovation depends on understanding what causes what. This paradox, that science's most important questions were deemed unscientific, sparked what's now called the causal revolution, transforming how we extract meaning from data and opening pathways toward truly intelligent machines. Why can a toddler grasp that pushing a toy makes it move, while sophisticated AI struggles with basic cause and effect? The answer lies in the ladder of causation, three distinct levels of thinking. The bottom rung is association, detecting patterns in data. Your streaming service operates here, noticing jazz listeners often enjoy classical music without understanding why. Current AI, despite impressive pattern matching, remains trapped at this level. The middle rung, intervention, predicts what happens when we deliberately change something. A doctor prescribing antibiotics operates here, understanding the medication will cause specific biological changes. This is what if I do thinking, imagining consequences before acting. The highest rung, counterfactuals, represents uniquely human reasoning, imagining worlds that never existed. A physician wondering whether a different treatment would have saved a patient engages this thinking. This ability to mentally simulate alternative realities enables moral reasoning, scientific discovery, and learning from mistakes, a place machines have yet to reach. The prohibition against discussing causation in science began with Francis Galton's Victorian-era discovery. Studying heredity, he noticed tall fathers tend to have sons taller than average but shorter than themselves, regression toward mediocrity. Initially, he thought this was nature's causal mechanism. Then Galton realized regression works backward in time too. Fathers of tall sons also regress to the mean. Since sons' heights can't cause fathers' heights, regression couldn't be causal. His protege, Carl Pearson, declared science should abandon causation for correlation entirely. For nearly a century, this causal taboo dominated statistics. Researchers stated findings purely correlationally. Smoking is associated with lung cancer, rather than smoking causes lung cancer. The prohibition persisted because no one had developed a rigorous mathematical language for causation. While mainstream statistics avoided causality, geneticist Sewell Wright invented something revolutionary in the 1920s. His path diagrams, visual representations where arrows indicate causal relationships, were sophisticated computational devices that could predict correlations from causal assumptions. When critics accused him of circular reasoning, Wright responded, "This was precisely the point. You cannot draw causal conclusions without initial causal hypotheses, just as you cannot navigate without knowing your starting position." Yet the scientific establishment ignored Wright's methods for 40 years. The breakthrough transforming causality from philosophy into rigorous science came through a deceptively simple notation. The do operator distinguishes between seeing and doing, between observing something happen naturally and deliberately making it happen. Consider aspirin and headaches. Observing people who take aspirin shows they often have headaches, suggesting aspirin causes them. But intervening by giving someone aspirin actually reduces pain. The do operator captures this crucial distinction mathematically. Building on this foundation came the do calculus, three rules for transforming causal expressions, like algebra's rules for solving equations. These rules determine when we can estimate causal effects from observational data and when experiments are necessary. Medical researchers can now predict treatment effects using existing data rather than waiting decades for trials. Epidemiologists estimated smoking cessation's effects on mortality without impossibly long studies. Social scientists can answer counterfactual questions about historical events. The do operator transformed causal inference from an intractable puzzle into systematic science, providing researchers across disciplines with rigorous tools for understanding cause and effect. Most importantly, it made explicit what was previously implicit, allowing scientific scrutiny of causal claims that had always been hidden in statistical language. Confounding bias occurs when a third variable influences both treatment and outcome, creating spurious correlations. For example, data might show people who exercise more have higher cholesterol, suggesting exercise raises cholesterol. But age is the confounder. Older people exercise more and have higher cholesterol naturally. The backdoor criterion provides a graphical rule for identifying which variables to control. Think of causal diagram links as information pipes carrying bias through non-causal paths. The do operator, like randomization in experiments, erases arrows into the treatment variable, blocking bias. A backdoor path is any path from treatment to outcome, starting with an arrow pointing into the treatment. To eliminate bias, we must block all such paths without blocking causal paths or controlling for consequences of treatment. This elegant solution turns deconfounding from an intractable problem into a straightforward exercise solvable by algorithms in nanoseconds. Modern statistical software now incorporates these principles, automatically identifying confounders and estimating unbiased causal effects from observational data, transforming medical research where randomized trials aren't always feasible. Simpson's paradox occurs when a treatment appears harmful to men and women separately, yet beneficial overall. A drug might increase heart attack risk in both genders individually, but decrease risk when combined, a seemingly impossible contradiction. Real examples abound. Kidney stone treatment A outperformed B for both large and small stones separately, yet B showed better overall results. One university appeared to discriminate against women overall, yet favored them in most departments. These reversals stem from uneven distributions and different baseline risks between groups. The causal diagram reveals the solution. If gender affects both treatment assignment and outcome, it's a confounder requiring control through stratified analysis. However, if treatment affects outcome through a mediator that gender also influences, controlling for gender becomes inappropriate. The correct analysis depends on causal structure, not statistical patterns alone, demonstrating why purely statistical approaches without causal reasoning inevitably lead to confusion. The causal revolution has transformed fields from epidemiology to economics, but its deepest implications concern artificial intelligence. Current AI systems, despite impressive pattern recognition, cannot reason about cause and effect. They remain on the first rung of the ladder of causation, finding correlations rather than understanding our world. Creating strong AI with genuine agency requires three components: a causal model of the world, a causal model of its own software, and memory recording how intentions correspond to outcomes. With these capabilities, machines could develop meaningful responsibility for their decisions. By embracing causality, we're teaching machines to think more like humans and discovering what makes human cognition unique. This could lead to AI systems that genuinely reason and make ethical decisions. More importantly, it highlights our ability to ask why and imagine what if as our most powerful cognitive gift. In a world drowning in data, the causal revolution offers something precious: tools to distinguish patterns from understanding, correlation from the causes that shape our world. The question isn't whether we'll use these tools, but whether we'll use them wisely to build not just smarter machines, but deeper understanding of the causal fabric connecting every decision to the world we create.